This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry.
Xyratek buys up Luster assets.
And the UK launches a new HPC center. Good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for February 22nd, 2013, available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Richard Brandt, editor of HPC Wire. And Addison Snell is on vacation this week, so today I'm joined by my old colleague, Michael Feldman, who is now at Intersect 360 Research. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, good morning, Richard. Great to be back on the show. It's kind of deja vu. I've missed for a few weeks, but sitting on the analyst side of the table now, and this ought to be fun. Congratulations on your new position there. I know I had a lot of fun doing that over the years, and I could just say it's never a dull moment there, right?
Oh, absolutely true, absolutely true. And I'm trying to make sure I can fill your shoes on this, because you were obviously pretty well known, and but you're going to be a great asset for Intersect 360 now. Just all the expertise that you've got and everything you know is just really invaluable. So
yeah, we're going to be working together. I mean, we're good partners. So we contributed a feature this week, which we'll be talking about a little bit. But yeah, it's great to be with you guys. It's a great publication. You're doing a great job. So
thanks very much. The feature from Addison is on Xyratek, which bought up some Luster assets this week. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Xyratek's made news. They got the sort of the remaining assets of Luster from Oracle, who had it for a couple of years now, when they bought Sun Microsystems, when Sun Microsystems bought CFS. The actual assets that were left basically were the logo, the trademark, the Luster trademark, and the website, and some intellectual property related to that. The code base, of course, is open source. So, I mean, that's sort of had this been untouched for a while as it's been passed around the industry. I mean, it's gone through, like, this is, I think, their third or fourth company that sort of owned the copyrights and logo, but the open source remains open to everyone, and Xyratek, certainly in buying up these assets, has no plans to change that, and really can't. It still will be open source Luster down the line and forever.
Yes, that's the thing. This has been an incredibly successful open source product, and it's great that it's remaining that way, and we expect to see Luster last for a long time here.
Yeah, I mean, it really is fortunate. I mean, HPC has always been high on the open source community and open source software, and it's really borne out here. I mean, this particular software stack has gone through four with Xyratek, and you got to think, if this had been a proprietary piece of software, it would have died somewhere along the way. But the community built up around it. I mean, when it was an Oracle, I think that was sort of its darkest day in that sense from the HPC standpoint, since Oracle was not involved in the HPC community. So at that point, you know, companies like WhamCloud got involved, and then OpenSFS, the consortium, came in and brought everybody together and sort of revived the idea that, yes, there are developers that are supporting this piece of software for HPC, and we're going to take control of it and put a roadmap together. And Xyratek now continued that. They're an HPC company with their cluster store buy, especially a couple of years ago. This gives them a lot more credibility. And then being a provider of Luster, they've got control over some important assets now. So this is good all around. This is a good move for the community to get everything back sort of on the HPC side as far as Luster's concerned. I think in general everybody's going to be happy about this. There's really no downside, since it's going to remain open source. So it's sort of a win-win-win for all the players here.
Yeah, it's always been, you know, I've been covering technology long enough that I remember when the open source movement, was sort of laughed at by the big companies owning tons of intellectual property. But it's amazing how far this has come now, and how much power we have in open source products and just the ability to get a lot more people competing and developing and extending these products. It's a great change in the industry, in my opinion.
Yeah, and Lustre seems like it has a pretty assured future now. I mean, they're prepping this. I mean, OpenSFS and some other groups, the European group on the other side, they're looking at this as the platform for an exascale parallel file system. Not that it will be called Lustre necessarily, or maybe it will, but it'll be we'll use some of the technology as the basis for these future file systems as we enter the exascale computing and get into exabytes of storage and that sort of thing. So, yeah, good all around, good piece of news, and good news for Xyratex. They've got a nice piece of property there and going forward. So, yeah, speaking of exascale, actually, you reported on a development that in the UK. There's a new HPC center, Hartree Center, in Darnsbury now, and they're working on some research, and especially at the software side, towards exascale computing and related research there.
Yeah, it's very interesting. The Hartree Center is now essentially part of the Science and Technology Facilities Council, STFC, also located in Darnsbury. And they had acquired a new IBM BlueGene Q computer last summer or so, which was rated, I think, about 13 on the top 500 list, since dropped down to number 16. But this new funding just came in U.S. dollars. It's about $45 million, it's really going toward software at this new Hartree Center, which is trying to help improve the efficiency of some of these accelerator chips and things that are being used in high-performance computing in order to stop wasting compute cycles, make sure these new processors and things are much more efficient. And a big part of this is to share all of that with industry and try to help make UK businesses more competitive.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of research and work going towards accelerators now, especially on the software side, which is sort of the crux of the problem, getting these accelerators of different architectures, usable by programmers so they can be exploited for their performance. So it sounds like there's a good amount of money going there. It's $45 million for the whole thing, but some of that, a good chunk of that, is going just towards the software research, and it looks like they're going to be looking at Xeon Phi, maybe GPUs, and even FPGAs, which I was a little surprised about. FPGAs have sort of been in the background since GPUs sort of came to the fore, but it sounds like they're interested in FPGAs as accelerators and the software that enables that.
Yeah, that really fascinated me as well. Mike Ashworth, who's essentially the director of the new Hartree Center, said they had looked at FPGAs for HPC about 10 years ago, but the chips weren't very fast. They were difficult to program. You had to use VHDL to program the chips. But now he sees them as much faster. They support double precision processing now, which is really necessary for scientific applications. And so they're interested in exploring the possibility of FPGAs in high-performance computing hardware now. And I think it'll be an interesting thing to see. They haven't quite committed to exactly what they will put the money toward, which areas they'll put it toward, but he's very interested in that one. So I'll have to keep an eye out for that, see what happens with FPGAs here.
Yeah, that would be an interesting development if they came up with something. There's just a few labs in the U.S. that are sort of working with FPGAs here. Everybody else seems to be, sort of focused on the more traditional accelerators, GPUs, and the Xeon Phi now. So,
yeah,
let's definitely keep an eye on that, and we will too. It's they might be a dark horse in the accelerator race, but like you said, their FPGAs have been chugging along too, and they're quite powerful now, and they're just waiting to be exploited as well.
Yeah, it's just really terrific. And we should mention also that out of that $45 million, about $17 million of it is going to create software for the Square Kilometer Array, the huge radio telescope being put out in the world these days.
That future telescope, it seems like I hear about that all the time. It's not deployed yet, obviously, that's for in the future, but it sounds like that's going to become a growth industry for a lot of computing infrastructure when it's deployed. It's going to be another another large Hadron Collider type project as far as like the amount of money and effort that's spent on that. So that's an interesting development there. And I'm sure we'll see a lot of support for the SKA as it goes forward.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, of course, we've got is the IBM Watson computer that beat some of the top contestants on Jeopardy a little while back. Technology's got a new job now.
Yeah, good old Watson. You know, he can't keep that guy out of the news. But yeah, I saw that. It was interesting. Interesting new role they've got at Sloan Kettering there doing cancer research.
Basically they feel that they can leverage Watson's natural language skills and its data crunching abilities to just learn about, some of the stuff that's required in the medical field, just all the knowledge that you need to know. You can analyze and interpret complex clinical information. You can look for drug interactions and things, and a lot of stuff. There's just a lot of stuff you need to know that it can be difficult for physicians and pharmacists and anybody involved in the medical community to keep up with. So this can be a great resource for the medical community to help aid them in their work. So,
healthcare is a lot of it's just a numbers game. I mean, you've got millions of patients, you've got complex drugs, you've got complex diseases, but the data's there. So it becomes sort of a number crunching problem in a sense. So, and I think it's more and more it's looked upon that way. And you've got something like Watson that has this natural software platform to do this sort of thing. And I think the press release that IBM put out said they were able to review like 1.5 million patient records in a very short period of time that were cancer patients and recommend the diagnosis and drug treatments for that. And it's something, obviously one doctor couldn't do, but it's not going to diagnose or treat somebody, but it's certainly going to help those doctors in dealing with these, complex issues and large number of patients. So it'll be interesting to see how Sloan Kettering is able to sort of leverage that and maybe put it into production.
Yeah. Maybe we'll see little Watson Juniors in hospitals all across the world and, just consulting with the doctors, help them out a little bit as they do their job. So, okay, well, I think that's it for the news this week. It's great to talk to you again.
It's great to be here. We'll give you back Addison next week and you guys can take it from there.
Okay. Hey, have a great time at Intersect 360.
Thanks, Richard. It was great
Thanks
to be on
a lot.
The show.
Thanks a lot, Michael. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite. Got a question or comment? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.